a great morning. Had a lot of feedback from people. Just awesome. And I'm reminded of how many people consider your church their church home on a day like Easter. When you see so many people that maybe you haven't seen that much of or haven't seen in a while or whatever it is. And it reminds me of, I have had so many families talk to me, like just straight up, like asking for prayer, saying, our family is too busy. Would you please pray for our family? We don't know what to say no to. We're trying to find a balance that is something that would be honoring to God and that kind of thing, and how to lead, and even just in trying to make it to church and stuff. And that's been the context. A lot of them have talked to me about it. Of, you know, we're sorry we haven't been there. Will you please pray for us? Like, we want to be there. And so I'm telling you that to kind of encourage you, that as you're with other families and with people, that you might be an encouragement to them. If you're praying for them about that, and I encourage you to pray for them about that, I encourage you to let them know. Say, hey, I'm praying for you about that. If they talk to you about that, if that's a struggle for them or whatever, minister to them, love on them. That's us being the church to one another. It's tough to say, know what to say no to. And that's really the catch. That's really the thing, is trying to figure out what that looks like. So just lift those folks up. Let's go ahead and get a Bible out if you've got it. If you don't have it, we've got ushers, and they are ready to go with them. And if you don't have one, just throw your hand up and let them get you one. You can follow along with us. If you don't own one, we're giving that one to you. It's a gift, okay? If you just left it in the car or home or something, make sure you get you one. We're going to Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4. And this is a passage that if you've grown up in church, at some point you probably have heard somebody teach on this passage. And it's a passage that I have studied over and over the years. And it's one of those things that I keep coming back to. And every time I come back to it, God challenges me with something new and something more. And it's just amazing to me that he can do that. But he does that in his word. And I just want to encourage you something. And we're going to see this in scripture today. But I want to encourage you to spend time in God's word. I want to encourage you to spend time with Jesus. Don't fall into that trap of, you know, church is enough and all that kind of stuff, and going to church services or whatever it is. I just want to encourage you. There's so much more for us, and it's really all in God's word. And we'll see Jesus actually talk about that briefly in this passage that we're studying today. So here's how this is going down. I was feeling led to teach through the Sermon on the Mount. And this kind of even came out of, I've got a group I meet with of like me and a couple other guys every week. And we check on each other and we study scripture together. And when we're on top of things, we actually talk about all that stuff. And if nothing else, we get to fellowship together and love on one another and that kind of thing. And we've been studying through Sermon on the Mount and some of these things. And just in studying through it, I just felt like God saying, Chris, this is a great thing for you to teach the church. And so we're going to start the Sermon on the Mount, but we're not starting it yet because I started reading back through the first part of the book of Matthew. And in reading through the first part of the book of Matthew, I came to chapter 4, which is what we're reading today, which is the temptations of Jesus. And in reading through that, I just got to thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. And I got to thinking about how this was kind of this segue into the ministry that Christ would have. It was him having to go through these temptations. And the truth is this, and I really believe this, is that the temptations were definitely for us to see who Christ really was, that he could withstand anything on our behalf. But then secondly, that we would see Christ come against these temptations and these things not overcome him for our sake. So twofold, I really believe that this passage is really that we would see Christ reigning supreme, but that we would also see that we have the chance and the ability to also come against and combat temptation. Now, I don't know where you are today, but generally speaking, everybody in the room probably is struggling with something. There's probably some kind of temptation in your life that you know is it's there. and you struggle with it and you're fighting against it a lot. And for some of us, we could say, you know what, I've got temptation. If we were just real honest and, you know, we were going to have, you know, like a video, you know, of everybody talking about their temptations and how they're dealing with them right now. Some of you would probably say, well, you know what, I've got temptations and I'm not fighting against them and I'm just giving in to them. And be honest with you, I'm actually enjoying them, you know, and that's just where I am right now. And then some of you could say, you know what, I've got temptations in my life and I'm trying to fight against it, and to be honest with you, it's really hard, and I don't feel like I'm succeeding. I feel like it's beating the mess out of me right now, and you know it is what it is. And then some of you could say, I've got some temptations in my life, and you know I've been fighting against them, and I've really gotten to see God be victorious over them in my life. And it's been a while since I've fallen into this or done that or whatever it is. And you know, so across the gamut, I think we can all agree, you know, we've all got these things in this life that tempt us, and these things that are things of this world or whatever it is. I think that for us to recognize that Jesus too had to be tempted, and he did so for our sake, is really important for us to see here today. And so Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin reading this this passage. And as we before we even begin reading this passage, I just ask a couple of questions. And the first one is, you know, can we fight off temptation? Can we fight off temptation? And the second one is this, how can I overcome temptation? We're going to talk about those. Let's read Matthew 4 verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Okay? So right off the bat, let me point something out, and you may say, well, that doesn't really need to be pointed out, but I think that it does, because I think too often not we don't want to talk about it. And I'm going to talk about it for just a second. And that's this. There is a spiritual realm. There is a devil. There are demons. There are angels. There is spiritual warfare. We are in a war. We don't recognize that so much, and we don't like to talk about it. Because just quite frankly, you know, we want to equate that with like being some kind of, you know, hoodoo magic from a horror movie or something that we've, you know, seen along the way. And the truth is that's not the deal. But the truth is that this is real, and we are living in that. And whether we like it or not, whether we want to think about it or not, that's true. And so we see that. We see that. And let me say this too. I don't want to give the devil any more credit than he deserves, okay? And Jesus reigns victorious, okay? So even as we read through the scripture today, you're going to see Jesus victorious over the devil every time. It's not like, you know, 4-1 or 3-2 or, you know, Jesus went 100 and then there was that one time that the devil got him. No, there are no times, goose egg times, that the devil got Jesus, okay? And so what we see here is we see Jesus was led up by the Spirit, it says, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, which this brings about a great question for us, okay? And the question is this, who tempts us? What says there, but I think we need to read it. Read says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, here's the truth. At some point in time, we have all probably been guilty of going, well, you know, God tempted me with that. God tempted me. The truth is let's just be real honest. We are pretty good at tempting ourselves, aren't we? We are pretty good at not setting up the boundaries that we should a lot of times to put ourselves in temptation. If I'm going on a diet today, probably the last place that I need to go and hang out to study for next week's message would probably be one of my favorite pizza places, which is Pizza Perfect in downtown Nashville. I probably don't need to go to Pizza Perfect. And I love Pizza Perfect. And it's great. And they have like the biggest TV I have ever seen hanging on a wall, I think. It's amazing. You know, but not what I need to do. I am putting myself into temptation, and we do it all the time. The first series that we ever did as a church in Pleasant View Elementary was called Runway. And the whole premise of the idea of it was that, you know, at an event where you've got a runway or a red carpet or whatever, you've got the velvet ropes and you've got security, and that is for protection. And we as Christians, a lot of times, we are not good at protecting ourselves from temptation. And instead, we just go, you know what, I'll be all right. I'm just going to go on. I'm just, you know, whatever. And the truth is we fall right back into it because we're not paying attention. So back to this question, who tempts us? What says right here who tempts us is, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus is tempted by the devil. And you're like, well, Chris, the Spirit led him over there that he might be tempted by the devil. Why would the Spirit do that? Well, we understand from Scripture that God tests us at times. You know? God tests us. And we see this all throughout Scripture. We see him do this with person after person, men and women and all these people. And the truth is that, yeah, we need to be tested at times. It strengthens us. It makes us better people. But the truth is this: Jesus is always victorious over temptation if we'll let him be. I read to you James 1:13. This is how I know God doesn't tempt us. James 1:13 says this. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. You see, God does not tempt us into evil. He does not tempt us into sin. But he is sovereign over all things. And at all times, over all things, he has his hand. And if he needs to, he'll yank us out. He is our protector. But Satan, the devil, is the tempter. I want to go back to the passage in Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 2, we have the first temptation that Jesus incurs. And in Matthew 4, verse 2, it says this. It says, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You ever been hungry? Pete's perfect sounding good right now, isn't it? You're sitting here going, we didn't have time to eat breakfast. We ran out of the house. Didn't have a very big dinner last night. Jesus was hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. Let me tell you what. 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you give me a day and a half, and I will gnaw your finger off. Okay? I mean, like, I don't know what it is in me, but there is something in me that, like, if I go that long without eating, I mean, like, I automatically want hot chicken. I don't know what it is. Like, it's like hot chicken, you know, whatever. I'm like a magnet to it. This deal is, and I hope that you see this as we study through these three temptations that Jesus incurs. Every one of these temptations is the base temptation for any temptation that either one of us, any of us, would ever come against. Any temptation that we ever come against is going to be rooted out of one of these three temptations. And this first one is, you know, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. We go, Chris, well, I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon. I understand. But he was hungry, and he was hungry why? He was hungry because God put in him as a man, Jesus was fully man and fully God, and he put in him as a man the desire to eat so that in his eating, he would be able to feed his body and take care of himself. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, check this out. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. You see what he does? See what Satan does here? He comes at Jesus and says to him, look, you know, Jesus, buddy, not been eating for 40 days, 40 nights. There's no hot chicken around. I tell you what, there's some rocks, and I bet you could turn them into bread if you're really the Son of God. Mm-hmm. This is like ultimate, like, playground, like, I triple dog dare you right now. If you really say you are who you say you are, then show me. Let's see it, right? If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I love that. I love that. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's not just combating Satan. He is 2,000 years later teaching us something that is so important to us. I mean, like, we're thinking about food. I mean, some of you right now, you're thinking about food. You're like, I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat today. He's already talked about hot chicken. He's talked about pizza. He hasn't talked about Mexican food and salsa yet, but I'm sure he's going to go there. There you go. And, you know, I mean, you know, but that's, we're going to think, we're not going to go without, right? We're not going to go without. Jesus answers him and he says, look, as important as that is, much more important is this. I'll read it again. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Food is important, but spending time with God and his word is even more so. And we recognize how important food is. And Jesus is taking this opportunity here to say, hey, that's important, but it's not even as important as this. This is even more important. I'll talk about this probably a little bit through today. It's like heavy on my heart. I've had a lot of people talk to me since I talked about it last week, when I talked about it last week, and so I'm going to kind of keep talking about it some, and it just fits with what we're talking about today. But the truth is this, is that, you know, God has all these promises for us. I mean, all of these promises from his word. And we get anxious and we worry and we get all in a tizzy about life and situations. I've seen people in a tizzy this morning about situations. And you know what? At the end of all of it, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's like, Chris, how does it not matter? Because we've been promised all of these amazing promises from God that are all in his word. And here's the truth, and you and I both know it. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, then we know that when we spend time with Jesus, we're not anxious and worried. Why? Because we trust God. Because we've been reminded of the promises that he has made to us. And Jesus is saying here, he's like, look, bread's great. My word is better. Eat that. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God, that's what we should live by. He's saying, devour my word. That's so important for us. And it's so important for us, but yet we're so busy that we can't do it. And I hope that we can see that what God has given us is this super huge, great, amazing, fantastical gift in his word. But man, we've got to take time. We've got to take time to devour it. We've got to take time to eat it. We've got to take time to spend with Jesus in it. This is a relationship that we have with him. This particular temptation is kind of known as lust of the flesh. And really the reason that is because this is about Satan using actual desires that God has given us. Think about all the desires that God has given you. God has given us the desire in that particular situation to eat, that we get hungry. Jesus' body was hungry because God made his body as a man to get hungry when he needed to eat, okay? Think about all the other desires. I mean, there's so many desires. This goes back to every single temptation that you and I have come down to one of the three in this passage of scripture right here. So you think about, you've got the hunger deal, you've got that desire. We have a desire for sex. We've got a desire to be loved. And we can take any one of these desires and turn them into sin, can't we? And I don't even have to like give you illustrations of those things. You know, I mean, even just like you take love, you know, like we need love. I mean, how can we turn that into sin? Well, I mean, we know ways that we can do that. We start looking for, approval of man and all this kind of stuff, acceptance of others and all this kind of stuff. We start worshiping those things when in essence, God's just like, man, just come to me. I got you covered. Come to me, trust in me. So this lust of the flesh in this particular situation for Jesus was because he was hungry. But Satan is basically using a human need that he has to try to tempt him to do something. But Jesus answered, it's written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We are tempted to want to fulfill our wants apart from God's will. Apart from God's will. How did Jesus do this? How did he say no? I know what you're about to say. He's Jesus. Okay, I get it. But what did he trust in? He trusted in the promises of God. He trusted in the Father. He trusted that even though he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, that God would provide. God would take care of him. That if God wanted him to have food, he'd have food. And he knew that he wasn't supposed to get it from Satan. I mean, let's just face it. He knew that that was going to be a wrong deal. By the way, 40 days, 40 nights, we see that anywhere else in Scripture? How about 40 years? How about that one? Israelites, also called in the Old Testament the Son of God, talking about the Israelite people. I mean, there's so many things like going on here. I mean, there's so much cool stuff that like can go back to. And by the way, also, just so that like you don't kick the Old Testament to the curb and think, oh, it's all about the New Testament. It's all about all of it, okay? It's all God's word. Let's remember that. And I think one really cool piece of this is Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. When was the last time that you spent some time in Deuteronomy? He quotes Deuteronomy over and over to Satan right here, by the way. It's amazing. All right, let's go on. Verse 5. Verse 5 says this. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So Satan basically takes him to this is like the highest point in the city, okay? Takes him up to the top of the temple. I'm talking about like probably up on one of the big points on top of the temple kind of deal. And then tells him, look, throw yourself down. And if you're really the Son of God, then the angels will come and rescue you. This is really very similar to what we see, you know, the other guy on the cross when Jesus is being crucified say to Jesus and saying, hey, if you're truly the Son of God, dude, do some magic here, you know? Whip something up. Satan's doing the same thing. Jesus says to him, verse 7, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You know what I love about that? I love that Jesus is saying to the devil, you shall not put your Lord God to the test. That is a reminder for us that God, the Father, Jesus, is God over even Satan, even the devil. Yeah, he's got this reign of getting to do whatever in this meantime of, you know, the deal. But at the end of the day, God is still sovereign and still in charge. And he can still, you know, jerk a knot in him anytime he wants to. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And I think that that's important for us. And Jesus, again, as he's taken this opportunity to not just turn down this temptation to do something that he would want to do, but that instead, Jesus is using this as a teachable moment, not just for the Satan, not just for the devil. This is for all of us. This is known as lust of the eyes, this particular temptation. But this really comes down to self-protection. And this is how this comes across for us. It comes across for us when we are tempted to question God's presence or his promises. You ever do that? You ever question, like, is God really here? I don't think God's here. I've heard people say this. People say this to me. I don't think God's here. I don't think God cares. I don't, you know, I don't think God keeps his promises. I'm questioning, you know, when do we question these things? We question these things when things are rough, don't we? I mean, that's what Satan is attacking here, is he's attacking Jesus in a moment. And he knows he's got him at this pivotal moment where he might be more likely to, you know, fall into sin or whatever. And he catches him right there, which is, Satan does this to us too, and we know it. Satan does this to us too. And what he does is he catches us in those moments and he whispers in our ear, God doesn't love you. He doesn't care. He abandoned you. Where is he now? What about those promises that he made? Those are lies. Those are lies. God never leaves us. We, on the other hand, we're fools at times. You know, we totally turn our backs on God at times. And then what? And then turn around. When we do finally turn around, like, God's still there. And he's like, come on, I love you. Come on, I love you. Come on. Who does that? Our bestest friends wouldn't do that if we wronged them over and over and over again. Eventually, they'd be like, it's time for us to be defriended on Facebook, okay? Satan is twisting promises that God has made here. He's manipulating the promises that God has made here. We do the same thing at times. You know, we want our way so bad sometimes that we'll take one of God's promises and we will flip it, turn it, mold it, stretch it out, and try to make it say something that gets us to what we want it to get us to, right? Here's what Jesus did. He rested in the shelter of the Father's security and his promises. He trusted the Father. Are you seeing or hearing this? Like, we're getting a repeat now. We're on Act 2, all right? Our biggest struggle is trusting the Father. If we trust the Father, would not everything be okay? Would we not follow him in everything he calls us to do? Would we not walk blindly into any situation, talk to somebody that maybe we're scared to death to talk to about the gospel or Jesus, or even just like how their day is going for that matter? Man, this is at its core where we struggle, but Jesus is setting an example for us. He's helping us to see he trusts the Father. Lust of the eyes. Verse 8 goes on, says this. It says again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, we'll keep reading, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This particular temptation is known as the pride of life. Now, pride is something that I know that most of you probably don't deal with. Actually, we all deal with it, okay? Let's just go ahead and get to that point. We all deal with pride. We all struggle with it. We all want to think that we can do it on our own. We all want to think that we're good enough and that we don't need help, or we, you know, all of these things. I mean, we're prideful people. I had somebody come to me earlier and say, hey, you know, got an opportunity to minister to somebody, and man, they did not want me to do that. You know, they didn't want me to, you know, try to help them in the way I was going to help them. But I just encouraged them to let them know, you know, this was God working and speaking to my heart, and I'm supposed to do this. And finally, they gave in. And that's pride. You know, pride has us that way. Pride makes us want to believe that everybody else should think that we're okay. Here's the truth. Everybody knows we're not okay. All right? Did you know it? Everybody knows that you're not okay. Our posts show it. I mean, our lives, you know, we all need Jesus. We need a Savior. And pride is this constant lying to ourselves, this falling into this temptation that Jesus is standing here looking at. And above all the temptations, I look at this temptation, and this is the one that I go to myself. I'm like, when I remember like the first several times that I remember really studying this passage of scripture, younger when I, in life and stuff, I remember thinking to myself, man, I don't know. Like, this might have been the one that Jesus should have said yes to. Like, it just seems like to me it's like a good deal, you know? And you look at it, and we'll read it again. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. So Satan takes him and says, look, you see all the land, all the people that are represented in all these lands that we're looking at over everything, all of the kingdoms. I tell you what, Jesus, if you'll worship me, you'll bow down and worship me. It's all yours. It's all yours, buddy. You can have it. It's a trap. It's a trap. You see what Jesus realized about this temptation that I didn't the first several times that, you know, I kept rereading it and thinking about it, praying on it. I remember being a teenager and really just really struggling with this one for some reason. And the thing that Jesus saw in this temptation was Satan was trying to offer him something now that was promised to him later. Man, isn't that us? I mean, don't we want now what we know we're probably going to get later? Don't we want now what's promised to us later? I mean, I watch young couples do this all the time. I watch young couples get married, and I talk to them about this in premarital counseling. One of the things I talk about when I get to like the finance section of that stuff is that I watch all these young couples get married, and they feel like that they should have everything that their parents have right now. But how long did it take their parents to get there? 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever it is. You know, and I'm like, look, it doesn't work that way. And they're like, well, I grew up on having cable TV. I'm going to have some cable TV. And I'm looking at him going, well, I tell you what, if you go into debt over cable TV, somebody needs to give you a whooping. Because that is the culture that we have grown up in. That we deserve these things, right? It's a lie. And it's full of pride. You see it? See how it gets us? And Satan says to him, hey, I'll give you right now the keys to the kingdom. You can have the whole thing. I'll bow out. All you've got to do is worship me. Just get down on your knees and say, Satan, you're the biggest deal ever and you're awesome. And Jesus doesn't bite. And where it seems like to me that could be a good deal, because I'm thinking about it from like, okay, two perspectives. We got Jesus' standpoint, and Jesus' standpoint is I'm going, well, he knows that he's going to get beat. He knows that he's going to suffer. He knows that in the end, we're going to hang him up and kill him on the cross. And I'm thinking, if I'm Jesus, I'm going, let me think about that for a minute. You know? So Jesus coming at it from that angle, he's fully God and he's fully man, okay? So the man side of him, you know, it has like at least the inkling, you know, he doesn't, you know, it's just temptation. He's not in sin to think about something here, okay? And then you've got the perspective of the people, like, well, Jesus could be going, well, you know what, we just go ahead and get this done. We'll just get this done. You know, man, it'd be so much better. But Jesus understood something else that I didn't understand for a long time. And that's this. If Jesus had taken the bait and worshiped Satan in that moment, he would have gone back on every promise that the Father had ever made. What did all the Old Testament do? Promised a Savior to come. Promised a Savior that would come, a Savior that would be beat, be sacrificed, would be a perfect lamb. You see, if Jesus had done that, it would have completely obliterated everything that God had ever promised. And Jesus wasn't going to put that at stake. And I'm glad that he didn't. Sounds like a good, easy way out, doesn't it? Too good to be true. Like so many things that we come across in life. So many temptations that we come across in life. Too good to be true, right? Jesus recognized what it was. He recognized what Satan was trying to do. And Jesus says to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. You see, the pride of Jesus, the pride of life, the pride of Jesus would have been, I'm thinking, you know, in the moment to go, "You know what? That's right. I'm going to beat you at your own game, Satan. I'll say yes." But he doesn't. He doesn't let the pride of the playground get a hold of him to where he can go, "That's right, I'm going to show you I am the big dog." He shows him he's the big dog by trusting in the promises of the Father. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and only shall you serve." Man, we're tempted, aren't we? And every temptation that we have is based out of one of these three. In fact, I want to read a passage to you out of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 also talks about these three together in order of what Jesus went through them in. 1 John 2, verse 15 says this, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Man, isn't that hard? Isn't that hard? I mean, it is so easy to fall in love with things in this world. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy things in this world. God created his creation and allows us to enjoy possessions or whatever it is in remembrance that they're really his. We're just managers of all of it. But it's so easy to want to fall in love with stuff here, isn't it? I mean, some of it's just amazing. Amazing. In verse 16, he goes on, he says, "For all that is in the world," and here you go, here's the first one, "the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Abides forever. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. So, you know, here's the deal. You know, I can go, "Man, I don't even know where to begin. I've got some temptation in my life. I've got sin in my life that is just, man, it's owning me. Man, I can't get rid of it." You know? And that's where most of us are. That's the way most of us feel. I'm here to tell you this. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, he has victory over that sin. You have the ability to say no. Just like you have the ability to say no over a busy life. We choose our busy lives, okay? Let's face it, we choose them. We choose the things that we pay for. We choose, you know, choosing all this stuff. And at the end of the day, we're also choosing whether or not we sin. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he has the ability to overcome any sin and any temptation. And he's proven that for us. He's set the example of that for us. And so even though Satan is real and there's spiritual warfare and all that stuff, and I mean, there's some big pieces to all that, okay? Some big pieces to that. And we need to keep that all in mind. But at the end of the day, we've still got to remember that Jesus reigns as king over all of it. It bows down to him. What's scripture say? That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of creation is going to do that. All of creation. When was the last time we got all of creation to do anything together? We can't get 20 people to do the same thing together most days, right? Or just the two or three that live in our house, right? Let's clean the house together. I got to go somewhere, right? And yet Jesus is so Lord over all that all of creation will bow down and worship him. So the question again, can I fight temptation? And the answer is yes, you can. Because of what Jesus has done, you are no longer a slave to sin. It does not own you. He does. How do I deal with it? How do I deal with sin, Chris? Two things I'm going to give you. How to deal with sin. How to deal with temptation. Quit putting yourself in situations where you know you're going to be tempted. Just stop it. Be a big boy or be a big girl and stop it. Like we make choices that put ourselves in predicaments. And we know better. So stop. Don't do it. Number two, and I got to tell you, I learned this one. I've learned this one, and it's been so good, and it's been refreshing here lately to be reminded of it. Thankful to a bunch of guys that are in our micro church that meets on Sunday nights. I've got a bunch of friends right now. It just seems like God's brought a bunch of guys to me in my life that are recovering addicts and different things, and some still struggling with stuff. And in the midst of all that, one of the things that I have been reminded of that is so true is that you got to take it one day at a time. One day at a time. And here's what we do. We are self-defeating. We are talking ourselves into believing we're going to fail before we ever get to the starting line. Like there's no reason for us to even run the race some days because of how we've got our mindset. Like, well, that's never going to happen because this, and this. Well, the truth is that, yeah, Christ can be victorious over it. Take it one day at a time. One of the best things that I have learned to do over the past couple of years is in the mornings when I get ready, I take a shower every day so I don't smell, for one thing. But part of it is I'm notorious for staying up late working or whatever it is, and it helps me wake up and kind of get going first thing in the morning. But one of the things that I have done that has been so good for me is that now when I get in the shower, it is like a trigger for me. That I remember this is time that I can spend praying. This is time I can spend with Jesus. And you know what happens when we spend time with Jesus? In prayer and in his word, we are reminded of his promises. So that later in that day, when temptation arises, I'm so much more likely to go, nope, not doing it. I share James 4, verse 7 with you. James 4, verse 7. And this may be one that you want to just write on a piece of paper, stick it on your mirror so you can see it every morning, that you can be reminded. I mean, this is if you want to overcome temptation. If you don't want to overcome temptation, don't read this with me, okay? It's time to cover your eyes and shut your ears, right? James 4, 7 says this, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." See that? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He does not control you. If you are a child of God, you are a child of God. And he does not control you. He can tempt you, but he's not God. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. He's not all this stuff. I mean, you know, the prince of the powers of the air is, you know, he's got demons and they're doing stuff too. And they're tempting and some of this kind of stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of, at the end of the day, You know Jesus, you trust in Him, He's your Savior. He has not only saved you from sin, He has saved you into being able to say, no, not going to happen. I will resist it. Romans 8, verse 31, I just want to read this and I'll close. Romans 8, verse 31 says this. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up. Listen to this. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give all things? If God gave us His Son, why would we even question whether or not He's going to take care of us? Verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Read that passage today if you have time. Find some time. Read it before bed. Read it with some friends. Whatever. Just meditate over it. If God is so great, He's so good, and we believe that His promises are true, why would we question? Why wouldn't we just blindly walk in faith, trusting in Him, trusting in His promises? And today, I encourage you. The sin that's in your life, the sin that's in my life, it doesn't control us. We are sons and daughters of the King, okay? Not the devil, the King. And the King reigns over the devil. And the King tells the devil what he is to do when he wants to tell him to do it. And one day, he will make him get on his knees and bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. That is our Savior. How amazing and how awesome is that? Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior. I just want you to know it is the absolute best thing that could ever happen in your life. Let God win over you. Let Him be your King. Let Him be your Lord. Let Him lead you. Trust in Him. Let it go. Just let Him be who He wants to be in your life. He loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. Trust in Him. If you want to talk about that or pray about that with somebody, we'll be hanging out afterwards. We'd love to talk with you about that. We can fight temptation. And the reason is because Jesus has already defeated it. Let's pray.